Hi, everybody. The Childlike God, that's where we are this week in our teaching series. And I absolutely love that little exercise we did where we put down what we thought childlike meant, because actually it's got some really rich meanings, hasn't it? And I think if I'd have said to you, if I described you as childlike, I think we might be a little bit affronted at that. If somebody says to me, "What's Andy like?" Oh, he's childlike. That can come with real baggage, can't it? Because we can tend to feel, actually, no, we're quite grown up and we're quite mature and we're quite independent. And that's the sort of goal of growing up, isn't it, in our culture? But let me read to you a psalm, Psalm 131 from the Passion Translation. And this was written by King David, who is a man with status, with wealth, with power, with authority. He had armies at his command, very grown up. And this is the picture he painted of living with God. "Lord, my heart is meek before you. I don't consider myself better than others. I'm content to not pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders that I'm not yet ready to understand. I am humbled and quieted in your presence, like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap. I'm your resting child, and my soul is content in you. Oh, people of God, your time has come to quietly trust, waiting upon the Lord now and forever." I love that, but honestly, we find that so difficult, don't we? And today we're going to focus on that story that Nigel just read for us of Jesus facing temptation in the wilderness and explore this idea of trust a little more. So the first temptation recorded in the Bible is Adam and Eve back there in the Garden of Eden. And for me, that just represents this universal temptation that you and I face every day, which is to rely on ourselves and not to depend on God, to strive to be independent and in control and not childlike in our trust and dependence on God. Now, a writer that I love called Robert Mulholland, he says this: "We have a powerful need to be in control of our own existence." Who'd like to say yes to that? Generally, we like to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Self-reliance is deeply ingrained in us. To allow someone else to control our life is seen as weakness, to be avoided at all costs. The spirit of our culture is, "I am the master of my fate and I am the captain of my soul." And I don't know about you, my upbringing was all about learning to stand on my own two feet. That's a phrase my parents used to say to me, at learning to survive on my own, to figure stuff out by myself, to have control of my own life. And that does make me a really annoying person to live with. So you all need to have a lot of sympathy for my poor husband. But, as we study the life of Jesus, and we saw it in the readings this week, we see that this quality of childlike trust is what he demonstrates and what he values the most. So we saw Jesus displaying a childlike trust in his Father as he slept through the storm on the Sea of Galilee, that we read that in Luke 8. Jesus says that he who receives a little child in his name receives him, and hence God. We read that in Luke 9. In Luke 22, we read Jesus saying, "Whoever's the least among us will be great." And in the other Gospels, Jesus tells us to become like children, or we won't enter the full life of the kingdom. And, as we look at this morning, I just want to be really honest with you and say, this is really challenging for me. In the way I live, in who I am, and in the moment where there are a lot of things I'm facing at the moment that are all coming together like a bit of a storm. And Jesus slept in the storm. Am I sleeping in the storm? Not so very well, if I'm honest. So as I go through this morning, I'm not just talking to you, I am wholeheartedly talking to myself. And asking God to bring transformation in me too. So let's look at this story. Now, I just think this is a really hardcore story. And to be perfectly honest, I find it pretty alarming when I sit and think about it. I mean, it's really extreme, isn't it? 40 days alone in the wilderness, being led around by the Spirit, not in control, fasting totally from food, basically facing starvation. And on top of all of that, at least 3 direct confrontations with the devil. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led there by the Holy Spirit. It makes my hair stand on end a little bit. And, you know, I asked myself, how did Luke even know about this story to write about it? Because Jesus was on his own in the wilderness. But presumably, this is one of these things that Jesus told his disciples about because it was so important. He was sharing this very deep experience he'd been through. And because it is just such a key thing for us to understand how to live. And so it's such an extreme event, it makes me sit up and take notice. So let's look at the temptations, these 3 temptations faced by Jesus that Nigel read for us. And they correspond to the sort of temptations that the Israelites faced when they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. You remember, they were rescued from Egypt by the Lord and they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness before they actually made it into the promised land. And they had all sorts of struggles along the way, many of which I'm sure we can identify with. And the answers that Jesus gave Nigel really helpfully every time, it is written, he emphasised, those answers come from Deuteronomy 6-8, which links back to that story of the Israelites. So just really quickly, the first one, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Wow, that must have been tempting in all that hunger to not trust God for his daily needs, but also reflects Israel's constant failure to trust God for provision in the wilderness. I don't know if you remember, they complained when they didn't have food. They complained when they did have food. They didn't follow the instructions about how to do the food. And Jesus quotes part of Deuteronomy 8, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You know, the Lord is so able to supply your needs and my needs as we trust in him, his word and his way in our lives. A childlike trust is the most important thing. That second one, Jesus is tempted to gain power by worshipping the devil. This is like Israel's temptation to worship other gods, to put their affection somewhere other than the Lord. And like you might remember, they made and worshipped a golden calf. And Jesus answers, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. You know, God wants you and me to love and serve only him. And that's not because he's some kind of megalomaniac, but because that is the way for you and I to find real, abundant, joyful, free, peaceful living. And no other gods, nothing else can bring us that in the way that the Lord can. And that third temptation is to question whether God is really with him. The devil says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And Jesus says, don't put God to the test. In other words, don't try and manipulate God. And the passage Jesus is quoting from referred to the Israelites forcing God to act when they were thirsty in the wilderness, testing God by saying, are you with us or not? If so, then prove it to us by giving us water. And actually, that kind of testing reveals more about our unbelief and lack of childlike trust in God's character, his love and his ways. And you know, what we see in this story is something of enormous hope, that Jesus, a spirit-filled, word of God-filled man, resisted all of those kinds of temptations by relying on God. He is the man that the people of Israel, like Adam and Eve before them, were created to be, had the opportunity to be, but never were. The story comes all the way through to Jesus, who walked in the Word of God and in the strength of the Holy Spirit with a response of childlike trust in God rather than self-reliance. And that, my friends, is the way he opens up for you and for me to walk in his footsteps and live a new way. So, having explored that story really quickly, what's the application for us today in our lives? Well, I'm tempted to say the first application is don't ever go into a wilderness on your own, because really weird things happen. So remember that one. But there are three practical things that I think we can take from this about the daily choices that you and I make. So three choices. First one is to choose daily to live in childlike trust in our Father God, instead of giving in to that daily temptation to rely on ourselves. That is a hard one, but as we walk in it more, it becomes so much more a part of who we are. And you know, the devil said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, well, Jesus was the Son of God, and so he trusted in God. And I just want to encourage you that we are the children of God, and so we too can choose daily to walk in the way of trust. It's who we are as his children. And I think the second daily choice is to choose to pray in childlike trust instead of worrying, when we're desperate, afraid, overwhelmed, and in need. And I am deeply bad at this. I'll just remind us of this scripture from Philippians 4. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honourable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. What a beautiful place to live as the people of God, in that place with God. And the third choice is choosing to be full of God's word. You know, we resist temptation in the same way that Jesus did. As spirit-filled people, we answer the devil's temptations and lies by shining the light of God's truth on them. And that doing that is this declaration of trust that actually we are transferring our trust away from ourselves to God, our Father, bringing ourselves kind of into alignment with him. So, you know, dwelling in the Word of God is so important for us. It's not just one of those religious things we have to do. It truly changes and transforms us. It strengthens us, encourages us, guides us, heals us, comforts and empowers us. It will bring us hope and life and joy and peace and wisdom. And, you know, as we read, we will get to know the faithfulness and the character of our God. For so many years, I just thought that that was about, you know, having choice verses to pull out and wave around when things were a bit tough, like a kind of lightsaber. But you know what? It's about us being immersed in this whole story of God and his people, which brings life and hope and perspective in our lives. And, you know, I just think we see from this story that if we are ignorant of scripture, then we are just poorly armed in the fight against this temptation to live life our way without God. So maybe there's a bit of a challenge in there for us to pray afresh and ask God to give us hunger for his word and to discover him in it So what's my conclusion? Well, my conclusion is that Jesus was tested to the core in this story, but he chose a way of life that was founded on childlike trust in God. And that is really important for us. And we see Jesus emerging in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we live in this childlike trust, it releases us into a fullness of life, which is ours. It is ours for the taking. So let's you and I recommit to childlike trust in our Father God instead of living self-reliant and independent lives. Let's choose to pray instead of worry and to immerse ourselves in God's story and his word. I want to go back to the psalm I started with, which is Psalm 131, and read it again over us. Lord, my heart is meek before you. I don't consider myself better than others. I'm content to not pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders that I'm not yet ready to understand. But I am humbled and quieted in your presence. Like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap, I'm your resting child, and my soul is content in you. Oh, people of God, your time has come to quietly trust, waiting upon the Lord now and forever. And what I just thought we could do together to finish is to pray. And Tim, do you have that slide that I sent over? This is a prayer, really simple prayer that I wrote for us. Now, my suggestion is that we say this together. This is going to be really messy. I want to invite you to unmute yourselves and all say this together. It's going to sound just alarming, but it's really good for us all to pray together. So you can see it up there. It's about choosing to walk in childlike trust. And we've got the words of Psalm 131 there. So if you do this, why don't you unmute yourself and let's pray together. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Father God,
I face battles and temptations every day to be my own boss, to live my life independently of you. Help me to walk in childlike trust. In the words of Psalm 131, pray. I am your resting child. My soul is content in you. My time will come while I trust, waiting upon you
now and forever.
Amen. Amen. You better mute yourselves again, guys, or we'll have chaos. But Lord, you know, we are your resting children. Help us to enter that place with you of quietly trusting, waiting on you. Do a work of transformation in our hearts and in our wills as we walk daily, trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.